That clock's a little slow. I'm very comfortable with it. It's a joke. It's a bad joke. I do thank you for coming. We have a very full chapel, very full balcony, and we have it streaming out in the fellowship hall, and of course it's going to be also live streamed on Facebook. And so if you meet friends or family that somehow weren't able to be here today, they would be able to see that. Well, that will stay on the Shiloh Chapel Facebook page for many months. I do thank you for coming. It means a lot to this family. They know you're here because you loved Adam and because you love them. So let's start by asking for the Lord's help. If you'll bow with me in prayer. Lord God, as we come here today, it's both with heavy hearts, and yet at the same time, it's a time of celebration. It's a very strange mix, but we're here remembering Adam, who was such a neat person. I only knew him a little, but the little I knew him, I loved him. He had some contagious joy there, and I pray as we share, as we remember, even through the tears, that we'd find that joy because he was so well known and so well loved. And that you yourself, Jesus, would comfort us as only you can while we're here together and also afterwards. And I pray this all in your name. Amen. I want to open with a scripture that I think is extremely meaningful for those of us that have lost a loved one. The Apostle Paul would write, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." I'm going to start this morning our time of celebration by reading from the obituary, which his mom wrote, beautifully written. Many of you were able to get a copy of that. If you haven't, we can probably make it so you can get a copy. Also, depending when you came in, there's bracelets that you should have. You want to get one? We'll make it happen if you didn't get one. But it's a good reminder of that he is missed and he is loved and not forgotten. Adam Joel Higgins was born on April 27th, 1993. And unexpectedly called home to the Lord in the early hours of October 2nd at the young age of 30. And we don't understand, I'm an old pastor, we don't understand death. We don't understand God's timing, but he apparently obviously does have a time when he calls people home. But in this, we can find comfort from each other and also comfort from the Lord himself. Adam brought immeasurable joy to the lives he touched. That I have seen reflected. And if you've seen the pictures, and you'll see more out in the fellowship hall afterwards. And by the way, if you can't stay for any length of time after this service, I would still invite you to go out with the family in the fellowship hall and just see some of the things out there, even if you have to go. They want to see you. They want to meet you. They're glad you came. But we will have a time out there following this service. So if you can, please do stay. They want you to stay. He had a huge heart and a huge presence and radiated love and warmth. And I think when you hear some of the things that are shared, you'll get a better feel of that. I think as you came in, too, you had a chance to sign a basketball. But you maybe saw on the easel out here, "Madam, I'm Adam." And some of you probably wondered, what is that? But that's when he was little, he would introduce himself to total strangers, obviously a woman, "Madam, I'm Adam." And even though, as his mom put, he was warned not to talk to strangers, but he had the knack for it. He was very close to his big brother Keith, and rightly so. I think it's neat when brothers, I call it, are more than brothers. They're best friends. And that's a really wonderful tribute to both of them that they had that relationship. As she wrote, they shared an unbreakable bond that united them through the ups and downs of life. They had each other's backs as fierce protectors and each other's shoulders when times got tough. Keith was Adam's person and Adam Keith's. Their connection is eternal, one that space and time will never shake. Then you'll see nicknames. I've learned three so far. There's probably more, but Jules and Gary, and you'll hear another one when I read in a minute. You probably noticed through the pictures, and if you signed the basketball, that would kind of connect some dots too, that he was a natural-born athlete. And basketball, a big thing. You'll see golf clubs out in the fellowship hall. And I can tell you right now, as one who has tried many sports and failed, I really respect the gift of athleticism that Adam had. I wish I could, well, you see pictures of some of the things he's done here, but he loved the sports, he loved fishing, he loved golf, tinkering, and beat the heck out of everyone in fantasy sports. That's a different skill, but it's a good one. As an adult, his love for landscaping eclipsed all his other loves. And someone was just telling me coming in how he had come over and helped out with one of their projects, and his expertise with equipment, knew what it could do, knew how to make it do what it was supposed to do. That's a skill. Having worked a tiny bit with machinery, it is a skill. It's an important skill, and one that he excelled at. When I first met Adam, it was back in 2007, when he was diagnosed with Guillain-Barré syndrome. Later on, I became even more familiar with that horrible disease because a friend of mine had it. But it's a neurological disorder that imitates a lot of other disorders, like a stroke or whatever. And he was very young when he had it. It looked touch and go at the start. And yet, praise God, he came through. But when I first met him in the hospital, I went in to pray with him, meet his family. In my mind's eye, I can still see his smile greeting me. And it was infectious. It's like, I didn't know he was sick. This is just a happy kid. As she wrote, doctors didn't expect him to survive that initial night, but in true fighting spirit, Adam defied the odds and gave us all the gifts of time, which he did. Graduated from Freeport High School in 2012, but I was thinking how many lives he touched. So I'm going to do a little show of hands thing. You can't play if you're a relative. Sorry, that's a separate game. But if you're one of his friends, don't be bashful. It doesn't make a difference to the age, but if you're one of Adam's friends, just raise your hand. That's what you need to look around, people. You need to look around because that is awesome. Thank you. That's a huge testimony to Adam was and how he touched all of you. We're going to kind of shift gears here to what I think is a really good part is that different ones, family members and others, are going to have a chance to share tributes, memories, readings, things that are meaningful to them. And also, think of a story, it can be funny, it can be whatever. We can laugh through our tears. But if you come up and share, you'll have a chance in a few minutes to do that. But we need you to come up here. I know that's tough. If you're up in the balcony, kind of make your way down ahead of time to the side door. But because we are broadcasting this on Facebook, we need you here behind here. And I would also ask you to speak up well. I know it's hard if you've got emotions, but just speak up because we want to hear. What you have to say is important for sharing. So it's hard to know who to start with first. So Caitlin, Lizzie, Annika, want to go first? No, but you do. Come on up here.
Yeah, I think we're okay.
Okay. We were Adam's stepsisters, and I wasn't really sure if we wanted to say anything, but we knew he would say something for us if it was in a different place. I put in a idea of reading a poem, and Crystal asked us to recite a certain poem, so we decided to find it. So we're gonna read Where the Sidewalk Ends by Shel Silverstein. This is a place where the sidewalk ends and before the street begins, And there the grass grows soft and white, and there the sun burns crimson bright. And there the moonbird rests from his flight to cool in the peppermint wind. Let us leave this place where the smoke blows black and the dark street winds and bends, past the pits where the asphalt flowers grow, where we shall walk with a walk that is measured and slow, and where the chalk white arrows go to the place where the sidewalk ends. And yes, we'll walk with a walk that is measured and slow, and we'll go where the chalk white arrows go. For the children they mark, and the children they know, the place where the sidewalk ends. And we'd like to thank everyone that came today. It's really nice to see how much Adam was loved.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a reading from Adam's aunt Priscilla, and she called him Addie, another nickname. Unless Priscilla wants to come up and read it herself.
No.
I thought I'd give you the chance. She writes, I had the privilege of getting to know Addie better when he moved in his grandmother's home last January, as I'm her caregiver. He was in demand in snow shoveling season and took care of a heavy load of snow and ice on the roof of the garage at my childhood home. He helped with meal prep, dishes, laundry, vacuuming, meds, and was the TV guru. Every house needs a TV guru with multiple remotes. We bounced ideas off each other regarding his grandmother's likes, dislikes, and care. He liked our conversations and was quite soft-spoken and loving. When I had lost the last sheep of my flock after 64 years as a shepherdess, a little tearful while telling him, he comforted me with a hug and a gentle hand on my back and said, I'm sorry. I never heard him raise his voice. When he wanted to ask a question or discuss something, he'd say with a little hesitation, I need to talk with you. One time, it was if I could take the stitches out of his scalp when I didn't even know about them. He'd fallen and hit his head due to a seizure while with friends, refusing medical help, so an ex-army guy put him back together. I had never removed stitches, but was successful in that endeavor to our relief with no problems. I think the funniest tale he told was about going to Harbor Freight with his grandfather. I've heard this from multiple people. This is a tribute to both his grandfather and Adam, their systematic designs. With his grandfather, who sent him in with coupons to get the free stuff, then he'd have him come back to the car, change his looks with different clothes, and go back in with more coupons for more stuff. He loved his grandfather and said he learned a lot from him. I can picture him doing it. And anyway, in one of our many conversations, I remarked that I hoped when I got old that someone would take care of me. Without hesitation, he said, I will. As I go out the door mornings after caring for Pat, that's his grandmother, we'd say bye or see you later. And he'd add, love ya. And I'd answer, love ya too. Thank you, Priscilla. I can picture them in their Harbor Freight glory. I have a son that works at Harbor Freight, so I can't pull that stunt. Otherwise, it's a great idea. Okay, Matt. Matt is up here, and he's going to share a poem, introduce it. So come on up, Matt.
Those of you who don't know me, I'm Matt Curtis. Adam worked for our family business in Freeport for 6 years, and we grew together like best friends, and he was great to be with every day. I'm going to read this poem. It's called, And When I Rise. And when I rise, let me rise like a bird, joyfully. And when I fall, let me fall like a leaf, gracefully, without regrets. And when I stand, let me stand like a tree, rootedly. And when I walk, let me walk like a lion, regally, strong and free. And when I wake, let me wake like the sunrise, radiantly. And when I rest, let me rest, like sunset, contentedly, without worries. And when I cry, let me cry, like the rain, cleansingly, with all of my heart. And when I dream, let me dream, like a cloud, vividly, in my true home. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, anybody else, you've had time to think and share, and again, you might feel like, yeah, I've got something to say, but it's hard in here. Then what you must do, if you've thought of something, don't go home without sharing it with a family member at least. But we prefer you come and share it up here. Sure. I have really good... Hi, everybody. My name is Luca Ponte. I am Adam Joel Higgins. So that's not me. I'm reading this. You can tell. We used to wrestle him. He was an amazing brother. He loves basketball. He loves golf. He loves his family. He was a very good kid. 1 year ago, we had our whole family over, and we had such a fun time. Me and Adam shared my food, even though this is important. His fingers were dirty from working on cars. So I had to pick chicken off for him. He was waiting all the time for me to get born, and it was like 2 a.m. His two brothers named Caden Wedge and Keith Higgins, and Keith is the oldest. Adam loved fishing, and he caught big fish, or so the stories go. And he caught big fish. He caught trout, bass, pike, chubs. He was a popular kid in middle school. I like his long hair more than his short hair. You'll see the difference in the pictures. And I love the last line. We all love Adam, and he loves us. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you. That's hard to follow up on. Anyone else? That was beautiful. Well, I think we're going to have two songs here in the service, one now and then one. Oh, somebody's pointing. Yes, could you please come forward and introduce yourself?
My name is Michael. Most of you don't know me, but I did know Adam, and he made a very deep impression on my life. I met Adam when I had volunteered to mentor in high school. And amongst the young chaps that I mentored, Adam was one. And he was, as you have heard and know, just a happy kid, most sincere, polite, and one of the most special young men I've ever met. I am proud to say that we became friends, and that friendship lasted until the last time I saw him, which was a few years ago, when I tried to explain to him how the journey he was on needed to come back from time to time and share what he had learned along the way. And he just was really pleased with that message. And he was a wonderful lad, and my life is better because of him.
Thank you.
Very much. I miss anyone else. Thank you. We're really glad you shared that. Thank you, thank you. Yeah, introduce yourself.
Hi, and my name is Kathy Smith, and I've known Adam since he was very little. And all I can say is that no matter how long it had been before we had seen each other, he would always just give me a big hug, and it was like we never, ever were apart. Yeah. It's very comfortable to be around.
Yeah. Thank you.
That was how he impacted, it looks like, everyone he met. Thank you. Yeah, come on up.
So I knew Adam in 10th grade. He was in fitness class with me. He's a very athletic person. Me and him became really good friends in 10th grade, and then we kind of disconnected. I did my own thing, he did his own thing, and then he connected with me about 5 years ago when he was living close by, and he became one of my really best friends, I have to say. And there's just so many things. Me and him, we've watched so many games for, like, the Celtics, for, like, the NFL, like, in the past multiple years, he's became, like, one of the persons that me and him just, whenever I went on an adventure, I called him up, he'd come with me 99% of the time. He'd always answer the phone, he'd always come with me. The last two winters, he was in my plow truck basically every single snowstorm almost, and I thanked him for that every single time. He was very good company in my plow truck. He was very hilarious to talk to. There's so many stories I can't even tell y'all that we did. There's so many funny things, funny times, like with his brother Keith. Like I've had a lot of fun with Adam. Like one of the times that I just will always remember is we were driving to go drop a deer off that I had shot, and we, really? We were to get cut up, and I happened to see some deer in the field, and I looked at him and I go, oh my gosh, I'm gonna go shoot one of those. And he looks at me and he's like, are you serious? He couldn't believe it. So I sneak out, I park my truck. He's like, are you really gonna do this? And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm gonna go up in there, I'm gonna get one of them. So I go up in there, I'm sneaking through the field, crouched down, and I look behind me, and there's Adam, 20 yards behind me. Like, I'm like, what are you? I'm like trying to sneak up, and I pull my gun up and I shoot the deer, and then me and him, he's coming up, he's like, yeah, Bucky Beaver, high-fiving me, happy as could be. We see the deer do its thing, and then he comes up into the woods and we were looking, and then we hear some more gunshots, and then we go back and get some friends, we go look, and we end up losing the deer, finding a gut pile. But Adam, that whole night was just hilarious, and I was just so thankful to be there with him and have him with me in just the past couple years. I've had a lot of fun with him. Awesome. And just every week, he'd text me. He'd ask me what I'm doing. Every Friday, Saturday night, I'd usually hear from him, ask me what I'm doing, just because he wanted to hang out. He wanted to see my kids. He wanted to come just hang out with me in my yard, like just doing nothing, watching some TV. There's many times I'd be at my house, and I'd be like, because I live with my grandmother, just like he did. He'd be up there talking to my grandmother for 2.5 hours. Just sitting there, chatting with her, and I wouldn't even know he was there, just playing with my kids. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, he's at the house. And I love him a lot, and I will always be thankful for him being my friend so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a great hunting story. I like good hunting stories. Except I got a question. You said something about nighttime, but we'll cover that later. Okay. Now we're going to have a song now. His uncle Andy, and they thought a lot of each other. They had a great relationship. And Andy's going to come up and sing, you think? Going to do it? Ignore the children. Ignore the children.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, have been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, my chains are gone. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon melt like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, shall be forever. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Amen. Chains are gone, I've been set free. Thank you, Andy. We hear your heart. I don't think I made this up. I don't know where I heard it, but it goes like this. Grief without grace is awful. Grief with grace, that is Jesus, is tolerable because we have hope. When someone that we love steps into eternity, it always raises the question, what happens? And we're not the first or the last to ask that question. It's been asked through the centuries. When the Christian faith was still in its infancy, the Apostle Paul was answering that very same question, what happens when believers die? And he would write this, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death," that was his metaphor for death, "so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope." So here's the hope, he's answering the question. "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him." The hope we have is in Christ. When we die in Christ, we have hope. There is a way to heaven, and His name is Jesus. Jesus said these words to His disciples just before He was to go to the cross and pay the penalty for all sin for all time. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. My father's house has many rooms. Another translation has mansions, and some of us prefer that, but you can take your pick. My father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you, so that I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And then Thomas asked the question that needed to be asked so we can get the right answer. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered these all-powerful, all-important words. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But those who do come to Jesus, Jesus always accepts. When we cry out to Jesus, he hears us. When we cry in our pain, he hears us. When we cry in our grief, he hears us. And those who do come to Jesus, God accepts and grants the free gift of eternal life. It's free because someone else paid for it. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for Adam, he died for me, and he died for you. But we have to make the choice to receive him into our hearts. And that is easily done, to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Jesus said these powerful words, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me, I'll never turn away. Jesus' heart, I think, a lot like Adam's, was open to everyone. Paul would write in the book of Romans, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we can do that, even in our grief, in our pain. We can come in our hearts right here, right now, come to Jesus, and he gives us comfort. He understands grief like no one else. The prophet Isaiah said, thinking ahead of time to Jesus, he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with bitterest grief. Jesus understands us. He understands you, Adam's family. He knows you're hurt because he understands grief. And that's why he would give us this promise, which I've held onto in my times of grief, and you can hold on to in your time of grief, where Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, even in the fog of grief, and it is a fog. I do not give you as the world gives. And then he says this, don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. Jesus came to give us eternal life. All we have to do is come to him. I love Crystal's words that you'll find in the transcript that you have on your sheet, where she wrote, you may no longer walk beside us, dear Adam, but your spirit lives on in the lives you touched and the hearts you uplifted. And you've heard just a tiny sampling of that here this morning. Your memory will forever be a source of inspiration, reminding us to embrace life with the same boundless love and joy that you so beautifully exemplified during your time on this earth. I'm going to have a closing prayer for this part, but remember, please stay. We're going to transition out to the fellowship hall. And I know some funeral services, people come and file by the family, and we kind of get a bottleneck here, and that gets awkward. So what we're going to do is when I'm done praying, we're going to have a special song and another special song in memory of Adam. And then after that song's done, we'll dismiss. Just make your way out, head to the fellowship hall, and we'll have some refreshments out there. But please bow with me in prayer right now, if you would. Lord, this is hard. This is hard for all of us, but especially hard for those closest to him, his family, his close friends. It just hits us so young. We don't understand. You don't answer the why question very often, even though it fills our hearts. Why? Why now? Why this? But what you do instead of that is come to us in your grace, in your love, and you do bring comfort. You do bring hope. That's who you are, Jesus. I pray for his family now, though. I pray especially for his brother, Keith, who, of course, feels it as only a brother can, especially when they were best buds. His many friends out here, many cousins, it's a large extended family, And of course, his parents. A parent's heart's broken. We know we're probably going to bury our grandparents and maybe our parents, but we never ever want to say goodbye to our kids. That's a big one. But Jesus, please comfort them, sustain them, be with them, and let them feel our love. We're here for them as well. Lord, we find comfort in you, so bless our time together in the fellowship hall, our food, our sharing, and let us find peace and comfort even as we're here together. Not only then, though, when we drive home later today, especially for the family, that they will find you are there for them every single moment of the day. You're there. You care. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Christopher Smith is going to come up now and sing for us. He is right here. Come on up, sir.
This is a song that Adam really loved. It's called Bubbles Up by Jimmy Buffett. Yes. When this world starts a-reeling from that pressure drop feeling, we're just treading water each day. There's a way to feel better, be well set to weather the storms till the sun shines again. When your compass is spinning and you're lost on the way, like a leaf in the wind, friend, hear me when I say, bubbles up, they will point you towards home. No matter how deep or how far you roam, they will show you the surface, the plot and the purpose. So when the journey gets long, just know you are loved. There is light up above, and the joy is always enough. Bubbles up. To my friends who are jolly, when melancholy knocks, sometimes they let her in to sit and share stories of flops and of glories. It ain't half as bad as the bends. Sometimes living's a struggle, multiplied double, but they love it too much for the party to end. Bubbles up, they will point you towards home. No matter how deep or how far you roam, they will show you the surface, the plot and the purpose. So when the journey gets long, just know you are loved. There is light up above, and joy there's always enough. Bubbles up. Let's pop a cork to the rough and the right, to the bright blazing days and the sweet starry nights. Bubbles up. They will point us towards home. No matter how deep or how far we roam, they will show you the surface, the plot and the purpose. So when the journey gets long, just know you are loved. There is light up above, and joy there's always enough. Bubbles up, ooh, bubbles up, ooh, bubbles up. And Adam, your family and friends love you very much.
Amen. With that, you are dismissed. Make your way out to the fellowship hall. Thank you all for coming.